Welcome to this, the third of our series of 2019 finalists, lunches and podcasts for the Economic Disruptor Awards, sponsored by Julius Baer, the private bank. So today we're in Birmingham, or close to Birmingham. We're actually at a splendid Victorian palace of a hotel called Hampton Manor, just by Birmingham Airport. We're hosted by Julius Baer's regional manager for the Midlands, Mark Embley. Mark, say hello.
Hello.
Thank you. And we're joined by our two guest judges for the Midlands region this year. First, we have with us Juliet Barrett, who's the founder of Grenade.
Hello, I'm Juliet Barrett, co-founder of Grenade, which was a sports nutrition brand. We launched in 2010 in the UK, selling sort of high protein products to primarily sort of gyms and specialist stores. As the market's changed and protein's become more normalised, so has the business, and we're now a healthy snacking brand, selling a range of protein bars, shakes, spreads to all sort of main UK retailers, including Marks & Sparks, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, Asda. We're disrupting the chocolate sector, and we sell to about 80 countries.
And our second guest judge today is Clive Borden.
Hello there, I'm Clive Borden. I have a range of roles covering startups, particularly focused on the tech environment. And the key strand of the work I do is I help people scale businesses. So often working with an early stage, young company, and looking at people, process and systems to get them to where they want to go. And that's my particular interest in today's group, is how they're going to build from their early success.
And we ought to say that our connection with Clive is that he is part-time COO of Warwick Music, which was our regional winner for the Midlands last year. So we're pleased to have maintained that connection. And Warwick Music has just won a Queen's Award.
Indeed.
So we congratulate them.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, I'm Martin van der Weer. I'm the business editor of The Spectator, and I'll lead us through this discussion. We've got four regional finalists for the Midlands this year. Three of them have been with us today and have been able to make presentations in person, as it were. The fourth one I'll be talking to at greater length, but we'll mention it anyway in this podcast. So the three that were with us are called Rebound, School Space, and Warwick Acoustics. And we'll start with Rebound. This is a business in reverse logistics. That's an unfamiliar phrase to many of us. But what it is, it's a business about making more efficient the whole process of returns for online shopping and mail order shopping. We learned a rather extraordinary statistic that in the German market, 60 to 70% of clothing purchased online is returned. People buy a lot of clothes and then send more than half of them back, having chosen the one they want, and so on. So there's an enormous amount of parcel traffic going back to the suppliers and retailers of stuff. And that is a big industry in which Rebound claims to be the most advanced company in the UK in this field. It's certainly a growth business. It's going towards, I think, 28 million turnover was mentioned for the coming year. It's looking at overseas markets and so on. Clive, what was your reaction to the presentation we heard from Phil Smith today?
So look, there's a lot to like about Phil and the business. It's come really from nowhere in a few short years to a sizable business employing, you know, a load of people, raising investment, growing internationally, and clearly solving pain. It's clearly built on a need in the market that the guys feel they're solving. Particularly like some of the work they're doing around environmental conditions, in particular the flagging methods of transport, for example, in terms of you can the customer, the end consumer can see and can choose actively which method of transport they want the returns to be made by, whether by train, by plane or other methods. I think that's a particularly interesting development at this moment in time. So my personal view is a lot to like.
Juliet?
Yeah, I really like the business. I liked Phil. I thought he spoke very sort of passionately about it. I think it's always interesting talking to the founders. I think it's a very scalable business if they can roll that out sort of internationally and then maybe outside of the clothing market. And coming from a brand where we did look at clothing, one of the biggest sort of headaches we had was how to deal with the returns, because the way people shop now, and I don't think this is likely to change, is they do buy two or three different sizes and then send two of them back. So that always has to be factored in. And also I think with the likes of Amazon, who offer such phenomenal delivery and sort of customer service follow-up returns, I think all of the clothing brands that they're working with do have to offer a comparable service. So it's great that that can almost be outsourced, because I don't think it's something that startup businesses or any business really can do that well in-house, and it is a huge headache.
Hmm. Mark? Very exciting business that's come from almost nowhere and forged its own market to become the market leader in the UK. And the particular bits that excited me were the ambition, willingness and readiness to move into international markets and into other places around the world. And also I agree with Clive, the social side of the business as well as being able to choose your method of return. So, you know, deciding how sustainable you wanted the parcel to travel back to the vendor. Also starting a foundation that was looking to find alternate and more useful uses for clothes that are being returned and are probably going to be thrown away in many instances by the manufacturer. Those could find a proper home to be used in a more charitable and useful way.
So we did ask an obvious question for this kind of business, which is, are you part of the problem, the environmental and social problem of ultra-cheap clothing and throwaway clothing, or are you part of the solution? And I mean, Phil's answer is they're part of the solution, because a very large proportion of the clothing that comes back through their system is either resold or it's going to charitable purposes, so it's not going to landfill. And I think he also used a phrase about this business being scalable everywhere in the non-Amazon world, which is quite interesting. So it probably isn't a business that's going to go to the US very quickly, but there are a lot of other parts of the world where it can go to. So that was our first one. That was Rebound. Second, something very different, presented by Gemma Phibbs. It's called School Space, and it's a business that enables schools, particularly state schools in the UK so far, to rent out their school hall and their usable spaces for all kinds of largely community uses, and thereby generate some marginal revenues. It's a product, in a way, of quite lavish school spending during the Blair government years, followed by austerity in the Coalition and Conservative government years, which means something like 8% real terms cuts in school budgets over the past 6 years. So schools need the money. They have space that was built some years ago on quite lavish scale. This is an obvious gap, an obvious meeting point of commercial interest and the school's interests. So it is a disruptor, I think, and it was very well presented by Gemma, who, with her business partner called James, they started this when they were 17 in their own school in just north of Oxford, and they have continued it since then. So, Juliet, what was your response to this one?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I love about business is hearing how they started. And I think Gemma's story, the fact that she was at school and she saw a need for that service, is a true sort of entrepreneurial business. I think it takes away the pressure on schools to generate that extra money and enables them to focus on education. And she mentioned that several times. She said it was a good sort of community function, the fact that there were lots of sort of local groups that were using it. I like the idea that they provide that fully serviced sort of, so it takes all the pressure off schools, and then they work on a 60% margin, which is obviously quite sort of beneficial to both parties involved. And again, the businesses work best if both people get something out of it. She had huge sort of aspirations for growth, not only in the UK and outside of the sort of Oxford and London regions that they're working with currently, but international markets in the US, Chicago and North Carolina, I think she mentioned. Yeah, and I think it's a great business that actually does service the schools and provide a need, you know, something that we do need.
It has to employ quite a lot of people. That was something I learned from the conversation. Do you think that limits its scalability, Clive?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of my initial concerns for where it goes from here. I mean, back to Juliet's point, I mean, hugely articulate co-founder, clear market knowledge, practical pain, 8 years of development. There's a huge amount to like about where Gemma and the team have got to right now. Equally, some of the pain is ahead in terms of how to scale a people-led service using a technology platform. It sounds like she's got a long way down that journey, but there will be issues ahead because anything managing people does inherently cause some pain further down the line, because unfortunately a variable thing is people and their delivery. So there are some certain pains ahead. One of the key things I liked about what she was doing was the opportunity to work internationally, as Juliet said. Chicago, we know from the work we're doing at Warwick Music right now, is a fantastically interesting educational market, and obviously there is scale in that geography. So what Gemma and the team are doing out there, I think has real opportunity to take the business forward from here.
Mark? Yeah, working in 40 schools at the moment, but with ambitions to significantly scale that up to into the thousands. To date, they've generated over £1 million of revenue for schools that schools would not have otherwise had. And yes, they're employing sort of over 100 people at the moment. And as we've said, that's going to become more of a logistical issue as they continue to expand. But the business is providing a radical solution to the school's funding crisis, but also, just as importantly, possibly helping communities and finding space for them to be able to undertake community projects. So, and I thought, Gemma was passionate and fascinating, and the embodiment of an entrepreneur.
Great, that's a nice description. Yeah. So that was an admirable entrant in every way, I think. Next one, Warwick Acoustics. So here we have a tech business, manufacturing business. Its product is an advanced and refined form of speaker for sound systems in cars. So rather than the quite bulky and heavy traditional speaker, of which there are several in every car, this is a thinner and lighter piece of technology which would replace all that. It's currently available in the form of high-end headphones for sort of the luxury end of the market. Tom Cruise was mentioned as a top customer of this business. That's good to know. Anyway, they're £5,000 headsets, I think. But the product for in-car systems would be much, much cheaper. There would be savings in energy use, savings in the weight of the car, long-term, if it's in large fleets of cars, long-term large savings in CO2 and so on. It's a very suitable product for electric cars. So it's a kind of next generation in-car sound system product, and apparently has no direct competitor doing exactly the same thing so far. Clive, you know your way around the automotive sector in this part of the world. How did you respond to that pitch?
Really clear pitch, and with physical product on the table. It was quite interesting, quite different to the other two presentations we had today. I found it particularly interesting that the main sales pitch for the product is actually less around... I'd walked in assuming it was around sound quality and quality of music as a musician myself, and obviously with some musical interest in the work I do. Actually, it sounds like the main sales pitch is around economic benefit, namely lighter, particularly around the electric car, electric vehicle decision-making going on right now in the automotive world. So it's a really interesting presentation. I think my downside or my concerns would be length of cycle in terms of getting that to the market. 17 years since it was originally founded. Nothing wrong with that. It's a high-tech, high-quality piece of equipment, and it definitely is disruptive in terms of what it's trying to do. But equally, getting it to market still feels like there's still quite a long journey ahead. I guess that's one of the questions we'll debate a bit later on as to where we go from there.
Yeah. So this is a spin out from Warwick University. It's two professors at Warwick that came up with the technology. Our guest today, Mike Grant, is a business guy who started in BAE Systems and has done mobile phone businesses and so on. And he's obviously been brought in to get it to the commercialization stage. Juliet, what was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, really just ditto what you said, Clive. Again, a very early stage business, obviously very passionate about what they do and built out of a desire and an interest as opposed to an actual business need maybe. Again, I thought it would have been sold on sound quality, which is probably a more consumer-focused sort of need, whereas these guys are pitching to the car manufacturers for the sort of economic benefits. Although as a sort of driver of cars and a lover of music, the sort of aesthetics of and the sound are both really important to me. So obviously well protected, they've got global patents, they're looking to expand, employing a lot more staff over the sort of next year. So it'd be interesting to see where the business is in a couple of years' time.
I'm in danger of repeating that again, actually. Yes, I think we were all surprised that the business model is more for the manufacturer than for the consumer. But it absolutely makes sense. And hearing Mike talk through the ambitions and aspirations for the business, it is, there is potential for very exciting times ahead. I also, I think, learnt how little I learnt at school during physics lessons, and almost none of it has been retained. Hearing about electrostatic this and cell structure that just shows this is an exciting technology that doesn't appear to have been used to date at all within the automotive industry. And if this is an application for that, then we could be seeing and hearing these in many cars.
The simplification of the key bit of technology that was offered is it's like a crisp packet, but I'm not sure that left us any the wiser, really. Anyway, good. So that's that one. And the fourth finalist, who wasn't able to be with us today, it's called Igloo Vision, and it is a business in 360-degree virtual reality. So it's kind of taking a piece of technology from the online gaming games industry and reapplying it in, for example, in military technology and in other kinds of industrial uses and so on. It's a very advanced piece of electronics. Clive, were you able to form any view on that from reading the entry form?
I think the key things I pulled out of that are knowing a little bit about Igloo from other lives at the moment. What's interesting to me is that it's an international product pretty much from day one. It's something that the guys have been able to look at. In other words, it's not restricted geography-wise, partly because of the technology base that's gone into the product. And also the sheer diversity of market opportunity as well. I guess that's probably one of the challenges. It would have been great to hear from Colin and the team today. But what I'd be interested in knowing more about is how they're choosing which things to go for in terms of how do they commercialise, because one of the issues with disruption is that you can do lots of things. Lots of people suggest lots of things you can do with disruptive technology, but focusing on the money, certainly in the early stages, to get yourself off the ground. So I'm particularly interested in the fact that they're growing and predicted revenues look like they're growing quite healthily this year and next. So they're obviously doing something right. I'd love to have known a bit more of the story. But
yes, I suppose you could say this is a defence product, it's a military product, and what we want to do is sell it to the Pentagon. Or you could say this is a oil industry, you know, safety product.
Indeed.
And that's our market.
Yeah.
But to do all of them is a bit challenging.
Well, the sheer diversity of opportunity is fantastic, but equally from an early stage point of view, focusing on, like I said, you've got to get past that critical sustainability factor as a youngish business. So I'm particularly interested in that journey, but never mind, that's a story for another day. No.
Virtual reality, your sort of world.
Yeah, again, I think it's really interesting. I think it's a space, you know, AR that everyone's playing in at the moment. It's really exciting to hear about a company that are based in Craven Arms sort of playing in the same space as like the big sort of tech firms. They were described as having frugal innovation, I think, delivering systems that are a lot cheaper than and some of the other AR systems out there. So, yeah, it's a disappointing that we didn't get to meet them, but again, completely understand that as a sort of growing business, that their business needs are more important. And, you know, it'd be interesting to meet them and hear more about them.
Well, that's the four finalists for the Midlands region for this year. Again, terrific range of businesses, very excellent presentations that we've heard. We will be moving on. The Julius Baer and Spectator crew will move on next. We have to go to Scotland and meet the Scottish and Northern Irish finalists, and we're going to Manchester to meet the Welsh and Northwest finalists. So two more of these to go. I hope you're enjoying listening to the series. Thank you for being with us. Thank you to our judges today, Clive and Juliet and Mark. Thank you all very much indeed.